West Coast College Training, July 4th through 11th, Occidental, California. Title, Christ Our Portion. Evening Session, Message 1, Christ Our Portion. Scripture Reading, Colossians 1:12 and 2:6-7.
When I first saw the subject of this training, inside there was a hallelujah! Let's release that hallelujah two times. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Three's okay. I love these three words. Christ, our portion.
Amen.
We could say Christ, our inheritance.
Amen.
Christ, our wealth.
Amen.
Christ, our possession.
Amen.
The whole Bible, I just want to begin this way. The whole Bible is a book about Christ. And the burden of the whole Bible is that all of us would see this Christ and realize this Christ is to be our portion.
Amen.
Not a doctrinal Christ, not just an objective Christ, but a Christ who can be experienced. So we see Christ, our portion, particularly in this awesome, wonderful, magnificent little book of four chapters, Colossians.
Amen.
Well, the whole Bible unveils Christ. We want to see Him as our portion, and we want to enter in to the experience of this wonderful one. And even tonight, during this meeting, all of us would have the realization we are taking this land.
Amen.
This land is ready.
Amen.
One of the main burdens in this first meeting is that this wonderful portion, who's typified by this wonderful picture of the good land in the Old Testament, he is ready to be taken.
Amen.
Now the question is, are we ready to take him?
Amen.
Are we ready to possess him?
Amen.
Are we ready to enjoy him?
Amen.
Are we ready to be saturated with him?
Amen.
Are we ready to be filled with him?
Amen.
To the point where he becomes our constituent and our everything. So, you know, I always like Luke 24. Does it need up a little bit? Okay. It's good to go up.
Amen.
Amen. It's up, up, up. We're always going up.
Amen.
Luke 24, after the Lord was crucified and resurrected, he met two very discouraged disciples who were missing the point. And they thought everything was finished. And basically, Christ was not really their portion. They had known to a certain degree, but he was not really their portion. So he walks alongside them and eventually ate with them, unveiled to them all the things in verse 27 of 24, Luke 24. And he opened to them all the things from the law and the prophets concerning himself to them. And that means the whole Old Testament. And that's the only Bible they had at that time. So he showed them clearly the whole Bible is just about me. If you miss this point, you missed everything. And then, eventually, he ate with them. He disappeared because he was in resurrection. He was the life-giving spirit, and he vanished. And then, after he left, because of his opening to them concerning who he was, and that he was the portion of the whole Bible, they at least had a little taste. And in verse 32, after he left, they said, "Did not our heart burn within us?" They were burning.
Amen.
What made them burn was they tasted this portion.
Amen.
this awesome portion of Christ. For the first time in their life, they realized the whole Bible is about this Christ.
Amen.
And this Christ wanting to be our portion.
Amen.
For our experience. Another chapter in John chapter 5, 39 and 40, the religious leaders were completely missing the point, of Christ being His people's portion, and just quoting all kinds of scripture in a dead religious way. And the Lord turned to them in verse 39. He said, You search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but you're not willing to come to me. You're not willing to come to me. You're not willing to take me as your portion. I am life.
Amen.
Life means I want to be experienced by you.
Amen.
Nothing can be more experiential than life.
Amen.
So his desire was that they would see that the whole Bible is a revelation concerning him, even who is life, to be our portion. But they were not willing to come to him. Anyway, again, here's a group of people who missed the point. Then I was thinking of another portion in Matthew 17, verses 1 through about 8. Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they, for the first time, the disciples really realized, this man is God.
Amen.
They saw him in a transfigured way. The revelation was strong, yet they were still blinded. And a miracle happened. Moses showed up. Elijah showed up. And they'd both been dead for hundreds of years. And they got excited because they started thinking about the Old Testament and Moses and Elijah and the law and the prophets and so many outward things. But God was offended. God was offended because they were missing the point. The point was, the one that was in front of them, the transfigured Jesus, was the unique one as the fulfillment of all the Old Testament law and prophets and typology. And so the heavens, you know, the whole situation became dark, a voice out of the heavens speaking clearly. They all hit the deck, their face on the floor. This is my son, my beloved, my favorite, my entertainment, my amusement, my joy, my everything. Who? Hear him!
Amen.
I want you to see him, and my burden is that he and he alone would be your portion.
Amen.
Doctrine would not be your portion. Outward prophecy would not be your portion. Miracles would not be your portion. But Christ and Christ alone would be your portion.
Amen.
And then when they looked up after the speaking, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. God was making a point. I want you to see that I am the God who wants to be your unique portion.
Amen.
I want to be your portion. I want you to see me. And I want you to enter into the experience of me. Amen.
Amen.
And it's very easy to be distracted from this wonderful portion. Wonderful portion. You know, I got distracted when I first became a Christian because I didn't get help like you're getting help in this training. One time as a young believer, I told a friend of mine who was a Catholic, a girl that was in our neighborhood, was over there with her family, her and her family, one day. I was talking to her about Jesus. But I had just read about Elijah. And Elijah did a miracle when the prophets of Baal, the idol called Baal, he tested them and he says, you guys pray to your God and see and puts these sacrifices on the altar and see if your God will answer. And they prayed and they prayed. About noon they started sweating and eventually they were slitting their wrists and they were trying to, you know, and nothing happened. It was absolute shame. And then Elijah stood up and just called on Jehovah. And the fire descended. But before he called them, he told them to put water, buckets and buckets and buckets of water on the altar. And the fire came out so strong it swallowed up the stones, the water, the sacrifice, everything. And everybody declared, Jehovah's God!
Amen.
They were clear. I loved miracles like that. So I told this girl who was a friend of ours in the neighborhood, and I said, you're Catholic. You pray to Mary, okay? I said, you see that figurine over there on that bookshelf? I said, you call on Mary. Ask her to knock that thing down. I said, then I'll pray to the Lord. He'll knock it down right away. She said, oh, no. I said, I told you. You don't know. I didn't really know what would happen. But I just love to read the story, you know, about that miracle. But actually, God's desire is not just outward miracles. God's desire is to bring us into the greatest miracle of the whole universe.
Amen.
And that is the miracle of Him coming into us.
Amen.
To be our portion and our everything.
Amen.
Oh. That we can enter into the highest enjoyment and experience in the whole universe. And we could be cooperating with Him so that we could be filled with Him and we could become the enlargement of Christ.
Amen.
So we want to see, meeting by meeting, Christ is our portion.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, this Christ who's our portion is unsearchably rich. He's untraceably rich. He's awesome. The book of Colossians unveils he's preeminent. As many of you quoted these verses, he's first. You know what first means? And according to the truth of the Old Testament, when somebody is first, it means they're everything. When the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed by the death angel, when Israel was escaping from Egypt and crossing the Red Sea, the first meant everything. When the firstborn sons were killed, it meant Egypt was wiped out. So, Christ is preeminent.
Amen.
He's first.
Amen.
And this book also unveils He's all-inclusive. And He's also central. He's the centrality. And He's the universality of God's economy. And we'll get into this little by little by little. But this Christ is unveiled in this little book of Colossians. And I appreciate all of you speaking up here. Barnes and Mystery. Oh, huh?
Bonds.
Oh, Bonds. I thought it was I thought it was Barnes. Bonds. And Mystery and whoever else. Anyway, I appreciate you speaking all of these wonderful verses. These are wonderful verses. But this little book of Colossians, four chapters, unveils the highest revelation, the Mount Zion in Revelation of all the books in the whole Bible concerning this Christ.
Amen.
This little book. So, and this Christ, who is He? Our portion!
Amen.
He's ready!
Amen.
And we'll see, He's ready! Amen. To be experienced, to be enjoyed. And now the burden is, are we ready?
Amen.
Well, to be ready means we need to see. We want to see. And then we want to enter into, moment by moment, second by second, the experience and the enjoyment of Him for the sake of His heart's desire.
Amen.
Now let's look at our outline. Okay. Christ our portion, and then particularly that's the main emphasis of this particular first message. And this phrase, Christ our portion, indicates he wants to be. The Bible is emphasizing that God's desire is that Christ would be our portion. Not for doctrine, not for theology, not for philosophy, not for this or that, not for outward ritual, but Christ would be our portion.
Amen.
He'd be our portion for our experience and for our enjoyment. Now, Roman numeral 1 says, God's intention in His economy is that the all-inclusive Christ be everything to us.
Amen.
The all-inclusive Christ would be everything to us. And these verses are wonderful, brothers and sisters. From Ephesians, although we're focusing on Colossians, but it says, to me, less than the least of all saints, was this grace given to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel.
Amen.
And to enlighten all that they may know what the economy of the mystery is. Anyway, brothers and sisters, these verses are wonderful to show us that God's intention in His economy is that the all-inclusive Christ would be everything to us.
Amen.
And eventually we'll see God's economy in a simple way is His dispensing, is His distributing Himself into us. And in the same chapter where it says, to me, less than the least of all saints, was this grace given, the same chapter, verse 2 says, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship, and it's the same word for economy. Economy on God's side is His dispensing.
Amen.
Stewardship on our side is our receiving and our distributing. If indeed you've heard of the stewardship of the grace of God which was given to me for you,
amen.
I'm your portion. I want to be everything to you.
Amen.
And I want to be everything in you so that you can join me.
Amen.
To be part of my intention.
Amen.
Dispensing me everywhere.
Amen.
For the enlargement of Christ.
Amen.
I love this verse. Now, little a, the all-inclusive Christ is the center and the circumference, the centrality and the universality of God's purpose, God's economy. These are some of the verses that you were speaking here, and these are wonderful. And these verses indicate in a simple way God, that this wonderful Christ is the centrality and universality of God's wonderful economy. God's economy, I've mentioned a number of times in a simple way. We've gotten a lot of help from the ministry of the age, brothers and sisters. What's God's economy? Number one, His plan. To fill us with nothing but Christ. Who is Christ? Christ is God. But Christ is God to be experienced by us. So Christ and God are not different. They're not separate. Christ is God to be experienced by us. So God's plan, His economy involves His plan, is to fill His people with nothing but Christ. Number two, God's way. God's way is by Christ taking steps to become a man, live a wonderful God-man living, die a wonderful, wonderful death to solve every problem in the universe, and in resurrection become a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
And then ascended and become the Lord so that whoever believes in Him and whoever calls on the name of the Lord, oh Lord Jesus!
Amen.
How about with your neighbor, call on the Lord a couple times.
Oh!
Oh, Lord Jesus!
Oh, Lord
Jesus!
Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved!
Amen.
Not only that, we get saved. He initially comes into us, but He wants to continue to save us. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will become rich. The Lord is rich to all who call upon Him. And then he becomes our genuine portion. This is the wonderful, wonderful Christ who's wanting to be enjoyed by us. He's the centrality and the universality of God's economy. And by taking all of his steps, he as the God-man, Jesus Christ, is the first in this universe. He's the preeminent one. He's the central one. He's the universal one. Who's first? Jesus. Who's center? Jesus. Who's universal? Jesus.
Amen.
Means he's everything. So God's economy, his plan to fill us with Christ, God's way is by dispensing nothing but Christ.
Amen.
And God's goal, the body of Christ,
Amen.
Which is Christ enlarged. So what do you see in God's economy? Christ, 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 Christ.
Amen.
That's all you see. It's Christ.
Amen.
You know, those verses talk about Christ as the image of the invisible God. Nobody's seen him, but he became the definite, solid expression and image. He's the firstborn of all creation and everything. I still love the story I heard that some of the countries we go to in Africa, some of the missionaries in the early 1900s, when they went to preach the gospel, they finally learned the dialect in certain tribes. They got to preach the gospel in a very simple way. And a lot of them, when they got done preaching the gospel, the people said, "We already believe." The missionary said, "What do you mean you already believe?" They said, "Well, just by seeing creation, we believe in God." But they didn't know definitely that this God is Jesus Christ. They didn't know Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
So they received the Lord. But the point is, because of Christ being everything in both the old creation and the new creation, even there's a testimony of Christ just by nature, just by all the created things. God is testified. Christ is testified. The creation, brothers and sisters, is preaching the gospel 24 hours a day. Letting people know that Christ is God. So that they can actually experience him and receive him as their portion, who's the center and reality and everything in God's economy. Now let's come to be. The will of God is that the all-inclusive, extensive Christ be our portion. This was another verse that you were memorizing. What's verse 9 say? Everybody that know it, say it. Go.
Therefore, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease praying and asking on your behalf, that you may be filled with the full knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Amen. That you may be filled with what?
The full
knowledge of His will.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, this is a great matter because how many, all of us are believers, we're all Christians in this room. How many of you always think about God's will? How many of you have thought about God's will? Tell the truth. You know, what I mean by that is how many, a lot of times we think, what's God's will? What school should I go to? Where should I live? Who should I marry? What job should I take? Right? God's will, God's will, God's will. This is not wrong. This is not wrong. But if we don't see God's will in a major way, in a central way, we will never be able to have the full knowledge of His will.
Amen.
Oh, we want to be filled
Amen.
With the full knowledge of His will, and the full knowledge of His will is Christ.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, if you practice to be of Christ, to be in Christ, to practice to be one with the Christ, enjoying Christ, I tell you, where you go to school, what you're going to major in, who you're going to live with, eventually whether you should go to the full-time training or not, who you will marry, where you're going to live, all these things, they are very simple for the Lord to work out. But if we don't see God's big will, we will be wasting our time. Oh, I want to know what God's will. I want to know God's will. I want to know God's will. But God's desire is we would be filled with the full knowledge of His will.
Amen.
And His will is Christ.
Amen.
Christ as our portion. This is God's will. Brothers and sisters, this is a great, great matter. Tie this together with Ephesians chapter 5. Write that down. Ephesians 5, 17 or 16. Ephesians 5, 17 or 16 through 20. But anyway, it says in 16, sorry, 17. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So tell your neighbor, neighbor, understand what the will of the Lord is. And the next verse says, what's the will of the Lord? Don't be drunk with so many things other than Christ. Be drunk with Christ.
Amen.
Be filled in spirit.
Amen.
That's God's will. God's will is that we would constantly be being filled with Christ.
Amen.
When you're enjoying Christ as God's will, oh, you're right in the center of God's will. Then every detail of your human life, your Christian life, can be worked out because you're really enjoying God's will. God's will is to fill you with nothing but Christ. That's God's will. So tell your neighbor, neighbor, God's will is to fill you with nothing but Christ. Now, we need to be infused, saturated, and permeated with the all-inclusive Christ until in our experience, He is everything to us. Well, the verse I didn't touch in the point before is the verse that's one of the verses related to this message. Giving thanks to the Father who qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. God's will is that Christ would be our portion. And what does that mean? God's will is that He would be our portion. Because He is Christ. Christ is God. God's will is that He would be our portion. He would be our portion. Now, see, so we need to be infused with this portion, saturated with this portion, permeated with this portion, and we'll have a whole message on some of these verses that are here. This portion wants to be enjoyed, and He is so awesome, brothers and sisters. He is so awesome that He wants to be enjoyed as what? He's our coat that we put on. He's the reality of every positive thing in the entire universe. He's our portion. He wants to be our real seat. You want to be seated in Christ.
Amen.
He wants to be our real joy.
Amen.
You want to be happy?
Amen.
If you want to be happy, you have to have Christ.
Amen.
Otherwise, all happiness is just temporary and it ends in sadness. But hallelujah for real happiness!
Amen.
What a happy day.
Amen.
Christ is the reality of happiness. So He is the reality of every positive thing in the whole universe. And eventually He wants to make us the same as He is so that we could become the spreading and the enlargement and the increase of Jesus so that when people see you, they see Christ. Christ is our life. He's our person. He's our everything. On one hand, we still exist. Yes, we're human beings with a certain name. On the other hand, we're so constituted with Him by enjoying Him that we become His expression. When they see us, they see His person. Brothers and sisters, I love this. We want to be so saturated with Him that day by day, enjoying Him, even in this meeting, we want to be exercising our spirit through the whole meeting, just receiving Him as our portion, to the point where we become under the influence of Him. I love that. We never want to get a DUI. Driving under the influence of alcohol. Terrible. But we do want to get an LUI. Living under the influence of Christ.
Amen.
By being filled with Him.
Amen.
I tell you, brothers and sisters, to try to be a Christian is a hard job. But if you learn to really enjoy Christ as our portion, Christian life is easy. You live under the influence. You and He and you, I just got back from New Zealand, and you know their nickname is Kiwi. But I said, if you enjoy Christ this much day by day as your portion, you'll no longer be a Kiwi, but you'll be a Hiwi. He and we and he get mingled, and no more Kiwi. Hallelujah! So the Lord's desire is that we would just be filled with Him, saturated, permeated, under the influence. Brothers and sisters, we are under the influence of so many things. Sometimes it's our pocket. There's something buzzing, vibrating. Under the influence of this thought, this feeling, under the influence of, how about, the Lord wants to be our portion to the extent that our living is spontaneously under the influence.
Amen.
Amen. So tell your neighbor, neighbor, I'm praying that you would get an LUI. Now, brothers and sisters, Satan, the enemy of God, has been doing his utmost to hinder the people of God from enjoying Christ as the all-inclusive one. He'll do whatever he can do to spoil our enjoyment of Christ. Chapter 2, brothers and sisters, chapter 2 is very, those verses here, 4, 8, and I think it mentions 18, but also it could mention 16. Chapter 2. The whole book is unveiling this all-inclusive Christ as our portion, but chapter 2 says four times, let no one, let no one, let no one, let no one, let no one cheat you. Let no one carry you away. Satan has one goal, 24/7, and that is to cheat us and to cause us to be carried away from Christ to religion, to philosophy, to culture, to this or that. But to the devil we say, no!
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I want to declare something. I hate Satan!
Amen.
I love Jesus!
Amen.
And we're here tonight refusing to be cheated.
Amen.
We're in this training. We want to be trained to let no one,
Amen.
Let no one cheat us,
Amen.
Defraud us, or carry us away from this wonderful Christ as our portion. I was on a trip to in April when I went from Kampala, Uganda over to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And the person next to me, three of us in a row, and the person next to me, he worked for Ethiopian Airlines, and his name was Amen. Amen. And I couldn't believe that. Of course, when I asked him his name, he told me that lit a fire within me. Amen. Well, it turned out, I don't know for sure if he was a genuine believer, but he was very soft, and I think he was definitely a believer. And his response to everything was just wonderful. So he and I were having a wonderful time. But the third guy who was next to the window was listening to everything. And eventually, he spoke up. And this was Satan. And he said, I've been overhearing what you guys are saying. And he says, and he was from India, and he was with 40 other guys, military guys, on the plane from India, and they were flying back home, but they were with the UN peacekeeping forces in the Congo. And they were returning back to India. He said, I heard what you guys are talking about, you know, Christ and all this. He says, I have a Hindu background. We believe in many gods. And you better be careful how you talk to people, and this and that, you know, this and that. And inside I was starting to get angry and not sure what to do. And mainly I was thinking of the influence on this new one, Amen.
Yeah.
And I was just, I didn't know what to do, but as I just turned to Christ, my portion, I just had a sense. And at one point I just said, you know what? And he said, what? I said, I'm going to sing to you. So let's sing together. Christ has put on human nature. Christ has put on human nature and become a man like me. He has died upon the cross that I from Adam
might be free.
He has risen and the Spirit. He has come to live in me that he might be my life. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For Christ is now my life. Anyway, brothers and sisters, I got so relieved. And he had to just shut his mouth. Because God was my portion.
Amen.
And it's not that I was doing any miracle. I didn't know what to do. I was frustrated, kind of angry. I didn't plan on that. But to just sing, Christ was my portion.
Amen.
And Satan got defeated.
Amen.
He quieted down the rest of the way. And then Amen and I walked off the plane together, baggage together. And eventually met the brothers in Addis when we came through immigration. And I just got an email from Amen the other day. So, amen! Lord, gain amen!
Amen!
My point is, Satan is always trying to cheat us. And really, the best solution to deal with Satan is learn to enjoy Christ as your portion.
Amen!
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Okay, Roman numeral 2, the all-inclusive Christ is our allotted portion. Brothers and sisters, He's our allotted portion. There's that verse 12. He's our inheritance. He's our wealth. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, hallelujah, I am wealthy!
Hallelujah.
The allotted portion refers to the lot of the inheritance as illustrated by the allotment of the good land of Canaan given to the children of Israel for their inheritance. So now we come, brothers and sisters, to Christ as our portion, shown by the best type in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament basically is occupied with this type, and that is the good land. There are pictures or types of Christ like manna and water, certain water, this kind of thing. But the best all-inclusive picture is the picture of the good land. And a lot of our message tonight is on this in a particular way. B, the New Testament believer's allotted portion is not a physical land, it's the all-inclusive Christ as the life-giving Spirit. So open your Bible to Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And what do they say? Okay, everybody that has it, let's do our best to read it with a strong spirit. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him.
Having been rooted and built up in Him, and being established in the faith, even as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving.
Amen. So, brothers and sisters, Colossians is referring to Christ, the reality of the good land. The good land was for God's people to walk in and to enjoy and to possess and to be filled with. This was their portion. And Paul was telling them, as you have therefore received, brothers and sisters, we have all received.
Amen.
We've received God's desired portion.
Amen.
As typified by the good land. As you've therefore received Christ as the good land, so walk in Him.
Amen.
Every time we live according to our spirit, every time we practice to be one with the Lord, turning to Him, opening to Him, we are believers enjoying Christ as our portion, by possessing Him as the wonderful good land. So the good land is not a physical land. The good land is Christ.
Amen.
And the next verse mentioned here, brothers and sisters, is Galatians 3:14. And this is a wonderful verse. It shows us Christ can practically be possessed and enjoyed as our portion, as typified by the good land. Because it says, as the blessing of Abraham might come to the nations, that is the promise of the Spirit.
Amen.
The blessing of Abraham apparently was just a physical piece of land. But no, the reality of that land
is Christ as the Spirit.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, every time we hear the word Spirit, we should not think of something strange. Like when I was growing up, even as a Christian, and I heard people mention Spirit, and they said Holy Ghost, and kind of made you nervous. And people did kind of funny things and strange things and talked about being filled with the Ghost and the Spirit. And no, the Spirit, the wonderful Spirit, is Christ.
Amen.
And Spirit means Christ coming, Christ reaching,
Amen.
Christ entering,
Amen.
Christ mingling,
Amen.
Christ saturating,
Amen.
Christ permeating,
Amen.
And us enjoying Christ as our portion. We can enjoy Christ as our portion because today He's the Spirit.
Amen.
So how about we shout, Hallelujah, Christ is the life-giving Spirit. Hallelujah.
Christ is the life-giving Spirit.
Now, the riches of the good land typify the unsearchable riches of Christ in different aspects as the bountiful supply to His believers in His Spirit. And these verses in Deuteronomy 8, brothers and sisters, are all detailed by all the points 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All those points are details bringing out the points from Deuteronomy chapter 8. We need to take this land and this good land which God has brought us into,
Amen.
Which is Christ as the Spirit, is a land of all these items which signify a lot, are very, very meaningful. Very, very meaningful. And as we enjoy Him as the Spirit, brothers and sisters, then we become those who are saved. We really enjoy Him as our saving. And everybody in this room, listen, everybody that's in this room that has been saved from going to the lake of fire for eternal perdition, say, Amen!
Amen!
But how many of you still need to be saved from unhappiness?
Amen.
How many of you still need to be saved from complaining?
Amen.
How many of you still need to be saved from selfishness?
Amen.
How many of you still need to be saved from don't touch me?
Amen.
How many of you still need to be saved from independence?
Amen.
How many of you still need to be saved from a lot of things?
Amen.
Well, the way is by being supplied.
Amen.
The more we enjoy Christ as our portion, the more we're supplied with Him, and every situation we're in turns out to a situation of salvation. And when there's salvation, there's joy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
So we want to be drawing water with rejoicing from the springs of salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
So we can constantly be being saved from a host of things. Christ would really, really, really be our portion.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, be our portion. Number one, brothers and sisters, number one, the water brooks, springs, and fountains signify Christ as the flowing Spirit. When we hear Spirit, we should not only realize, you know, some of the things I mentioned, it's His coming, His entering, His being received, contactable, touchable, absorbable, all kinds of a bowl, but also we realize He's flowing. He's flowing.
Amen.
He's not just doctrinal, static. He's flowing.
Amen.
He's moving.
Amen.
Our portion is a flowing portion. So the first revelation of Christ in the good land, and this is sequential, begins with His being unveiled as the water brooks, the springs, the fountains, which signify the triune God Himself as the flowing, wonderful one. And the Lord said to the woman at the well, remember the sinful woman, He said, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever.
Amen.
Thirst means you want something. You want some. Something is missing. He said, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water welling up, springing up into eternal life. You drink this water of life, this life will flow you.
Amen.
All the way into the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Oh, here he's speaking this to a little, poor, uneducated Samaritan woman. The greatest truth of the whole Bible. This indicates all of us, no matter what our education, we need to remain simple.
Amen.
Open to the Lord. Just like this woman. She was trying to be satisfied with everything under the sun, like Solomon, but nothing satisfied. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, wow, shall never thirst again. Amen. Shall never thirst.
Amen.
But this water is the flowing one.
Amen.
This water will become in you a flowing, gushing, fountain springing river of water of life to flow you into the destination of God's economy, New Jerusalem.
Amen.
On my way here, my wife and I haven't been... I better not tell the whole story. But anyway, when I got to the airport, I just was wanting to enjoy some more flowing. And I, of all things, I travel a lot, I always remember my water bottle, and I forgot it. I forgot it. So when you get inside of security, I thought, oh, I have to buy water. So I bought one. $2.39 for a little dinky thing. But anyway, the sales lady, her name was Amalia. And I said, Amalia, she gave me the water. And I said, Amalia, I was just enjoying that the Lord said, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever. And I said, Christ is the real water of life. And she opened up and she just responded and said, amen. And then she and I, in the middle of this whole thing, she and I just had a few words of rejoicing and enjoying this flowing river.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I was super refreshed.
Amen.
That was worth $2.39. Oh, this wonderful portion is flowing!
Amen.
Wow. And he's in us. And it says, whoever believes into me, in John 7:38, out of his innermost being will flow. As we practice to breathe him and call on him, then he wants to flow out of us into others. And also just flow in a way of maybe we don't even say words to others, but our kindness, our patience, our endurance, our smile conveys Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The main point is, let's enjoy Christ.
Amen.
Christ is our portion. He's our water brooks, our fountains, and our springs. Amen. B, the New Testament believer's allotted portion. Sorry. 2, wheat typifies the incarnated Christ who was resurrected as the first fruits. Brothers and sisters, Christ is the resurrected one. He's the resurrected one. But he was... Sorry, I skipped 2. Wheat typifies our... How did I do that? Anyway, wheat typifies the incarnated Christ who was crucified and buried to multiply himself.
Amen.
Don't skip the crucified Christ.
Amen.
He's the limited one. But listen, brothers and sisters, the real blessing of his death was that through his death, life within him got released. He became multiplied. So, brothers and sisters, tell your neighbor, hallelujah, we are the multiplication of Jesus. Any time in our living when we are practicing to be one with the Lord and being restricted, sometimes you want to speak something with your mouth in a way of anger or criticism, but you practice to be one with the crucified Christ, you practice to be limited, you enjoy something, and you become at that moment the multiplication of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus living on the earth again. This is wonderful. And that's why I mentioned in the training, I love that song, I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. But the more we identify with Him, brothers and sisters, the more we will enjoy His flowing in us, His living in us. So, to enjoy Him as the crucified, limited Christ. Brothers and sisters, we cannot try to be like Him. He was limited to the uttermost, even to the death on the cross. None of us can be like that. But we can enjoy Him.
Amen.
Take Him as our portion.
Amen.
As we enjoy Him as our portion, that living gets reproduced. And there's more multiplication of Christ. Everybody that wants the whole earth to be filled with Christ, say amen.
Amen.
Number 3, barley points to the resurrected Christ as the first fruits. So Christ came out of the grave. He was the first fruits. And He was for God's satisfaction. Also, barley indicates, brothers and sisters, barley indicates that Christ can satisfy us, and He, with Him, there's an abundance. There's a bountiful supply. I just wrote down one word that I really appreciate. That this wonderful Christ, let me just read a little quote I had. Unlimited, feeding others. You know, brothers and sisters, there was a quote here. I cannot meet the need. I cannot face the situation. But You can, Lord, even with surplus. How many of you feel like you can't meet the need at a certain time? The demands, you can't face the situation. But if we are one with the barley Christ,
amen,
enjoying the resurrected barley Christ, not only does the need get met, but there's surplus.
Amen.
When the Lord fed the crowd of 5,000 barley loaves, but there was leftover. We don't just barely get by in our Christian life, but there's leftover.
Amen.
Hallelujah! So the Lord desires that we would enjoy Him.
Amen.
We cannot pretend to be this or that. The Lord says, enjoy Me as your portion.
Amen.
Automatically, there will be definite surplus. Not only get through a situation, but more than get through. I mentioned in the training, the Apostle Paul, in facing many things that happened, he was in prison, but his prayer was not, oh God, get me out of here! But really, basically his cry was, Lord, I want to let You into here. I want You to be my portion. And it's wonderful, because it turned out that they experienced salvation, and it issued in the first church in Europe, just by them enjoying barley. Amen.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, in Philippians 4:13 in the Amplified Translation, the Greek, and a note by Marvin Vincent, it just says, Paul said, I am ready for anything. I'm equal to anything through Him who infuses His inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Brothers and sisters, all kinds of circumstances come our way. Every day, every moment, all the time. But the Lord's desire is we would get to the point where He's so much our portion, would you say, I'm ready for anything. The Lord wants us to enjoy Him. The only way we can say that is when we're one with Him.
Amen.
Otherwise, we're not ready for anything. And we're not equal to anything. But thank the Lord for the one I can do all things in the one who empowers me.
Amen.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, Paul said, I've discovered the secret.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, when we enjoy Christ as our portion, we have the secret.
Amen.
We're ready for any circumstances that we're going to face and equal to them by Him who infuses us with His inner strength. Vines typify the Christ who sacrificed Himself to produce wine to cheer God and man. You know, in the book of Judges, it mentions concerning the vine, it says, shall I leave my job of cheering? Shall I leave my job of cheering as a vine and try to become a big tree so that I wave over all the trees and say, hey, you guys, listen to me. I'm the boss. I'm number one. I'm Apostle so-and-so. I'm Reverend so-and-so. Don't you guys know who I am? He said, shall I leave my job? Should I leave my enjoyment of cheering others? Brothers and sisters, God's desire is that we would enjoy Him. Enjoy Him as the vine, typifying Christ as the one who sacrificed Himself to cheer God and to cheer man. Brothers and sisters, whenever you practice, even inwardly, to call on the Lord and to praise the Lord and to rejoice in His name, rejoice in Him, you are one with Him as the cheering vine wine. The cheering vine wine. So, brothers and sisters, your Christian life becomes one of cheering God and man and making God and man happy. Just by enjoying Christ as our portion. Amen. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
So turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, cheer up!
Neighbor, cheer up!
Amen. The only way we can say that is by our enjoying Christ.
Amen.
When you enjoy Christ, you're enjoying the vine with the wine cheering. We're not for ourselves. We're here living a life of sacrifice that Christ could be spread, testified, and increased to be His body. Okay, brothers and sisters. Number five, the fig tree speaks of the sweetness and satisfaction of Christ as the life supply. So, wow, not only do we want to cheer God and man, we want to be sweet. How many of you would like to be sweet?
Amen.
Jesus is so sweet.
Amen.
We are washing all our robes, the tree of life to eat. Oh Lord, amen, hallelujah. Jesus is so
sweet.
Why? By enjoying Him. Brothers and sisters, enjoying Him means opening, exercising our spirit. All kinds of speaking to the Lord, with the Lord, about the Lord, singing, praising. Wow, we become sweet.
Amen.
Sweet because we're full of the sweet fig tree Jesus. Number six, the pomegranates signify the fullness, the abundance, and the beauty and the expression of the riches of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, all the other ones, starting from the water and through the wheat and barley and vines and fig tree, it all accumulates to eventually we become what? We become abundant, full of abundance and full of beauty. A pomegranate is very beautiful, full of seed, full of abundance. Life in its abundance. Jesus said in John 10:10, didn't it? I am come that they may have life.
Amen.
And they may have it abundantly.
Amen.
This is pomegranate Jesus.
Amen.
Wanting for us to enjoy Him as our portion.
Amen.
So that we could be those who are really full of abundance. There's Christ in us in an abundant way, even to share with others. And we become genuinely beautiful. But apart from enjoying Christ, we're all ugly. So tell your neighbor, unless you enjoy Christ, you're very ugly. Even if you're Miss Universe. Number seven, the olive tree. Olive tree typifies Christ as the one who was filled with the Spirit and anointed with the Spirit. So brothers and sisters, anytime we walk by the Spirit, anytime we practice to just even sit in a meeting or interact with each other or fellowship, exercising our spirit to be one with the Lord, we honor God. We honor God. And anytime when I sit down, I want to open it up for all of you to speak. Anytime you speak something of Christ, you honor man.
Amen.
We want to honor God by living in our spirit, enjoying Him, breathing Him as our wonderful portion. And we want to join Him to honor man by speaking the Spirit. Speaking this wonderful, wonderful olive tree Christ as the Spirit. Number eight, milk and honey speak forth the goodness and sweetness of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I love milk and honey. I grew up on a farm and we just love milk and honey. But milk, and there's one verse in Isaiah 7:15 says, Jesus, a prophecy concerning Jesus, and it said He ate butter and honey. I love that. Butter is the richest grace, and honey is the sweetest love. So butter comes from milk, right? So this is a land full of milk and honey.
Amen.
Oh, full of the richest grace, full of the sweetest love. When you enjoy Christ as your portion, oh, you become so rich with grace and so sweet with love. The love of God is so sweet. The grace of Christ is so rich. Amen. So the more we practice to enjoy Christ as our portion, we become those who are really, really full of the richness of His grace and the sweetness of His love. Amen. This is wonderful, brothers and sisters. Okay, so let's eat milk and honey.
Amen.
Christ is our milk and our honey.
Amen.
Number 9, the bread signifies Christ as the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who eats me shall by no means hunger forever, by no means thirst as well. But brothers and sisters, eat. What does eat mean? Eat means exercise our spirit to call on His name. Oh, Lord Jesus. Exercise our spirit to rejoice in Him. Oh, hallelujah. Exercise our spirit to love Him. Lord, I love You. Exercise our spirit to praise Him. Exercise our spirit to speak to Him. Exercise our spirit to even converse with Him about anything. Brothers and sisters, as we exercise our spirit, we enjoy Him as the bread of life.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
And as we enjoy Him as the bread of life, we live the Christian life automatically, spontaneously. Not by trying, oh, I'm going to try to be like Jesus. I'm going to try to be like all the brothers say in all the messages. You can never do it. We need to be under the influence.
Yeah.
By drinking Him. Amen. By eating Him as the bread of life.
Amen.
The Lord said in John 6:57, He who eats me shall live because of me.
Amen.
Automatically, you ate dinner tonight, so you're all here alive. You're living because of that food.
Amen.
What'd you have for dinner?
Pasta.
Pasta. Amen. So you're living because of the pasta. He who eats Jesus by exercising His Spirit,
amen,
will automatically live because of Him.
Amen.
And then Paul could say, for to me to live is Christ.
Amen.
Now, number 10, stones signify Christ as the material for building God's dwelling place. And there's some very, very wonderful verses here, brothers and sisters. He's the stone in Zion. He's the foundation stone. He's the tested stone. He's the precious stone. And brothers and sisters, eventually He will be brought forth as the finishing stone of God's building with shoutings of grace, grace. The best way to enjoy Christ as the stone is to never stop receiving grace.
Amen.
Never stop enjoying Christ.
Amen.
The way to be stonified. Christ wants us to enjoy Him. You see all these, the water, you see the vegetable life, eventually you see the animal life with the milk and honey. You see the combination of the two, because the animal life, the big brown cow eats a little green grass and out comes white milk. And a little bee goes to a little nectar and out comes honey. So you see the life of Christ dying on the cross as the Redeemer, signified by the animal life. And Christ as the wonderful life-giving Spirit to be the generating life.
Amen.
But because of our enjoying this Christ, we become stones for God's building. No longer wishy-washy Christians, just driven all over the place by the wind. But we become solid.
Amen.
Everybody that wants to be solid, say amen.
Amen.
So we want to be those enjoying Him as the Spirit so that we could be transformed day by day, little by little, enjoying Him to become stones. The Lord is called in 1 Peter, He's called the living stone. And all of us who drink Him and eat Him are called the living stones. You also are living stones.
Amen.
So tell your neighbor, neighbor, hallelujah, you're a living stone.
Hallelujah, you're a living stone.
And what makes us living stones? By enjoying Christ as our portion.
Amen.
Who's He? He's the living stone.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, He's not just the stone of life. He's the stone that's living. Listen, life, you could say the bread of life, for example, the nature is life. But living means present condition. So we don't want to just say, yeah, I experienced life 2 weeks ago. Yeah, it's very good. I think it's wonderful. But the Lord's desire is that we would not just experience Him as life, that we would be living.
Amen.
Living.
Amen.
Enjoying Him.
Amen.
Presently. Amen.
Amen.
So tell your neighbor, neighbor, let's become living. He's the living stone, and we become the many living stones. Praise the Lord! Now, iron, brothers and sisters, not only we want to become stones, because stones are built, but this is, we don't want to just, we need the physical picture to see what the Lord wants in reality. We become the spiritual stones for the building of God's house, and we also, by enjoying Christ, be constituted or constituted with Him as the iron. Iron signifies Christ's ruling authority, and copper, Christ's judging power. So, brothers and sisters, as we enjoy Christ day by day, signified by the plant life, signified by the animal life, and we become solid, we become those enjoying Him as the living stone, and we become the living stones, good for God's house, for Him to build us, then what happens? We also enjoy Him as the iron.
Amen.
The authority. Not only do we want to be good for God's expression, we want to be good for smashing the devil. Because we hate him.
Amen.
We're not here to be indifferent. He's the one who wants to cheat us all the time from Christ our portion. And to Him we say, no!
Amen.
So we want to enjoy Christ to the point where we enjoy Him as the iron.
Amen.
And the iron chops His head off. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
The iron cuts down all the enemies.
Amen.
The more you enjoy Christ as your portion, all enemies get defeated.
Amen.
Remember the story, 2 Chronicles 20? Jehoshaphat had his arm, but they were outnumbered. They were going to be humiliated. And the Lord said, put the singers and the praisers in the front of your army. And when they began to sing and to praise, all the enemies killed each other. Some committed suicide. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
And the victory was no problem at all.
Amen.
What were they doing by praising? They were enjoying iron Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So let's enjoy Him.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, 1 week of enjoying Christ.
Amen.
As the plant life, the animal life, and eventually the one who's the stone and the one who's the iron. What does God need? He needs His testimony. What does He need? He needs His dominion through us as His humanity. He needs an expression of God in man, and He needs the dominion of Himself in and through man. Now, D, as the good land, Christ is... This is a point. Let's read D together, because this is. I want to conclude with this. Go.
As the good land, Christ is ready to be taken and possessed by His believers. However, there is a need for those who are ready to take Him, possess Him, experience Him, and enjoy Him in all inclusiveness.
Brothers and sisters, He's ready. This portion is ready.
Amen.
He's done everything. He is everything. He's the life-giving Spirit. He's ready.
Amen.
He's ready all the way from the water brooks all the way to the iron. He is ready. Now He needs us to be ready.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, neighbor, let's be ready.
Neighbor, let's be ready.
Let's be ready. Ready to enjoy Him. Ready to enjoy Him. And brothers and sisters, this is wonderful. Ready to enjoy Him. And as I just touch a little bit, brothers and sisters, in Ephesians 5 it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled in spirit, speaking. Listen. To be a speaking Christian, speaking in a way of flowing Christ out, yes, on one hand, it requires us to be filled in the Spirit. then we speak. But if you read the footnote carefully, you say, it also says, speaking is the way to be filled.
Amen.
So we need to live a life of speaking to the Lord, speaking with the Lord, speaking about the Lord, speaking for the Lord, speaking the Lord, speaking, 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 speaking.
Amen.
Speaking, speaking, hallelujah. Speaking, speaking, hallelujah. Speaking, speaking, hallelujah. Yes, speaking is the way. One of the best ways to keep our being open to Christ, who's the real Christian, who's the overcomer, who's the reality of all these things we've mentioned, is by speaking.
Amen.
Speaking, especially speaking His name. Speaking our love. Speaking, all kinds of speaking. Brothers and sisters, when we practice to be speaking, we will be genuinely lubricated. We will be ready.
Amen.
We'll be living.
Amen.
We'll be His body.
Amen.
And He will have a way to be not only enjoyed by us, but released to others to be their portion.
Amen.
So that others could become wealthy.
Amen.
They could become rich.
Amen.
So speaking, speaking, speaking. Always rejoice.
Amen.
That's speaking. Unceasingly pray.
Amen.
That's speaking. In everything, give thanks. That's speaking. Everything, give thanks. Don't quench the Spirit. That's speaking. Don't despise prophesying. That's speaking. Speaking, speaking, hallelujah.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord sometime.
Always.
Sometimes.
Always.
Always. Praise the Lord. Don't take a time out from rejoicing.
Amen.
Rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen.
Not in this or in this or that. No, but in the Lord.
Amen.
Speaking, this speaking allows us to really enjoy Him. Now let's conclude, brothers and sisters. The issue of our enjoyment of the all-inclusive riches of Christ as the good land is the church as the temple,
Amen.
The dwelling place of God, and as the city, the kingdom of God. Please open your Bible to Ephesians 2. These are awesome verses. Ephesians 2. These verses are a fact. And you know, one of the best ways to speak is to read the Word.
Amen.
We speak the facts.
Amen.
Speak the divine facts.
Amen.
I love these divine facts in Ephesians. And I hope you would really treasure them. 21 and 22, could we read them with a strong release spirit? How about we stand up and read them? Everybody that can. Go. In whom all the building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord.
In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in Spirit.
Sisters 21 and brothers say amen, and brothers 22, go.
In whom all the building,
amen,
being fitted together,
amen,
is growing into a holy temple in the Lord.
Amen. In whom you also are being built
together into a dwelling place of God in Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, saints. While we're exercising our spirit, brothers and sisters, we are becoming the temple of God. And we're becoming the dwelling place of God. Oh, so exercising your spirit by all kinds of speaking causes you to enjoy Christ as your portion so that we could become the enlargement of Christ. Now, A, the land is Christ Himself, and the temple and the city are the fullness of Christ, the church, which is His body. Remember, the goal of God's economy is the body of Christ. What's the body of Christ? Christ expanded.
Amen.
Christ enlarged. And what's B? Let's read B together with a strong spirit. Land and to share
our portion of the land.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Aren't you glad to be here this week together with each other?
Amen.
To be one with one another.
Amen.
Ephesians 3 says we want to be strengthened with Christ into the inner man. We want Christ to make home in our heart. And the Lord wants us to become full of strength together to apprehend all the riches of Christ. So all you brothers, Ezra, Matt, all you guys need to, Mark, I mean, sorry, Ezra and Mark, we brothers need to become strong together,
Amen.
Sisters, strong together to apprehend the dimensions of Christ.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, anytime there's a problem, anything comes up between Mark, me and Mark, and there's a barrier, I need to take care of that. Because I need the body.
Amen.
We need one another.
Amen.
Anytime anything comes up between me and Terry, me and Charles, me and Stephen, we need to take care of that. Confess that. Clear it up. If you need to apologize, do it. Because the only way to really possess this awesome portion is together.
Amen.
He's too awesome.
Amen.
Too great for any one of us by ourselves.
Amen.
We need the body.
Amen.
So we want to maintain the oneness of the body so that we could work together to possess this good land. We want to be like those, like Joshua and Caleb in the book of Numbers. 12 spies came back from the good land. 10 spies stood up and said, no, don't go there. There's giants there. There's no way to enjoy Christ. No way to possess Him. Forget it. Go back to the world. Let's go back there. Moses, you're stupid. Why did you bring us here? But two brothers stood up, Joshua and Caleb. They said, shut up. Let us go up at once.
Amen.
We're well able to take it.
Amen.
And Joshua and Caleb, it says, they had a different spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that's the Lord's burden in this training.
Amen.
We would have a different spirit.
Amen.
We would see Christ is our portion.
Amen.
He's ready to be possessed.
Amen.
Now, are we ready?
Amen.
Are we ready?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.